you. Hope you allow me to shift gears a little bit to a crop that I hope you all enjoy and eat more of. We need all the help we can get, so I encourage you to enjoy peanuts. We've been developing leaf spot resistant peanuts for about 30 years. My predecessor there, Dan Gorbett, before me, developed several varieties, and there have been seven varieties released with leaf spot resistance since the beginning of that project. You see them listed there. This is a disease of worldwide importance in peanut, and it's found essentially wherever a peanut is grown. Very easy to phenotype. We don't have genetic markers for it, partly for that reason. It does seem to be quantitatively inherited, but it's very easy to phenotype. We just don't spray fungicides. Typical farmer would spray fungicides in the order of 7 to 9 times per season to control this disease. There are two pathogens that cause the leaf spot disease, and I won't go into great detail there. The complication is that we, when we deploy these cultivars, we found that their germination was so low that seed companies dropped them. So, and we didn't see that in the breeding program. So in our breeding program, the lines germinated well, they looked normal, yielded well. In the commercial seed setting, however, and stored in the way that they store peanuts in the commercial sector, they failed because of germination problems. C99R, that one variety, was the only exception to that. It lasted a few years, several years in the industry, but it was plagued by these problems, just not as severely as others. Our question is, what is the cause of this poor seed germination? Obviously, we can't measure it in the breeding program because we don't see it there, so we need to know what is causing it. And how can we measure to eliminate these genotypes before we get them into commercial production? It's a very expensive proposition to develop a variety all the way to the end and have it fail at the commercial level. So look first at the situation. You can see here on your left, leaf spot resistant variety compared to susceptible one. Very costly to control this disease with fungicides, as I mentioned, seven to eight or nine sprays per season can cause yield losses of 50% or more if uncontrolled. And resistance is found primarily in late maturing types, and that's what we've been working with for several years. And you see the symptoms here, the spotting of the leaves, the foliation that it causes that actually kills the stems, eventually will kill the entire plant. I mentioned the complication, poor seed germination and vigor eliminated production of all of those varieties except C99R. What we see, we've done several tests to try to identify what is causing this. The first thing we thought of was storage. In our breeding program, we store the seeds in a controlled climate conditions where we air condition the air to about 50 degrees Fahrenheit and obviously low humidity. In a commercial setting, they store the seeds in large warehouses, and I'll show you an example of that, on concrete floors, just in ambient conditions. So we looked at that a little bit, and this data resulted from one of my graduate students' study there, where we looked at three of the cultivars here that have had that problem, C99R, DP1, and Hull, compared to AP3 that was a typical runner with the susceptible to leaf spot, but has very good germination and seed vigor. We did a standard germination test, and you can see that all of them germinate well. 70% is the general, 70 to 75% is the general cutoff required by seed law for peanut to be labeled as certified seed. By April, however, you can see that DP1, one of the cultivars most affected, germination reduced to 66%. And by October, you can see that all three of the late maturing types with disease resistance had unacceptable germination compared to AP3. I mentioned the storage environment, so I'll show you what those look like. We store peanuts commercially in warehouses and in wagons. In our research program, we store them in cool rooms. You can see that in general, all the cultivars, all four of these cultivars, when stored in a cool climate, germinate very well, acceptable levels there. But when we start storing them in wagons or warehouses, we see this degradation of germination, especially with DP1. Not so much with the others in this particular experiment, but especially with this cultivar that was severely affected. So we know that storage environment and cultivar affect germination. This is an example of the environment that they're stored in commercially, either wagons like this or large warehouses where they're just piled in large piles, concrete floors in these warehouses, and then baled out with tractors and front-end loaders. You can see here that this is where we store peanuts in these kind of conditions. So that's probably the reason we didn't see it in our breeding program, didn't know this was going to occur until we got it out into the commercial environments. So the question, what is the cause of this? What have we been able to identify as the cause of this problem? A few things here that we've looked at. This is just a culmination of several graduate student projects and research over the last 5 or 6 years. Perhaps membrane leakage measured by leachate conductivity is causing this degradation. Antioxidant capacity, we see some evidence that the late maturing types don't have the antioxidant capacity that others do. And more recently, we've looked at seed calcium concentration. Let me explain here that peanut is obviously born underground. It does not absorb, it has to absorb calcium directly from the soil because it doesn't transpire. Obviously, in the moist environment, the peanut doesn't transpire. Calcium is in the transpiration stream, therefore not available for root uptake and translocation back to the peanut pod. And it is known to affect seed germination in peanut. And so peanut growers will apply gypsum to their peanut crop when they're growing seed as a routine production practice. So we wanted to see how calcium affected, how the differences in calcium concentration in peanut seeds of these late maturing types. First of all, let's look at the membrane leakage. We measure this leachate conductivity in micromoles per centimeter per gram of seed that we tested. We see when we store seeds in a cool storage environment compared to a warehouse, that commercial storage environment, that there's much higher leachate conductivity in the warehouse, indicating membrane degradation. And this is what that looks like. We can actually correlate the leachate conductivity with emergence in the field in April and October and get decent correlation. So we know that this has some relationship with our germination issue. This is what an example of the test looks like. We essentially weigh out a certain amount of seed, soak those in water for 24 hours, and measure the leachate conductivity with this meter. Oops. We also looked at antioxidant capacity and found that the late maturing DP1, and this is different years and different storage environments, but DP1 tended to have, on average, lower antioxidant capacity compared to AP3 or C99R, but in a warehouse environment, they all had relatively low antioxidant capacity. It looks like maybe AP3 was using that antioxidant capacity to protect itself from degradation, whereas C99R or C99DP1, those two cultivars never had enough antioxidant capacity to protect themselves. I think the most exciting part now for us is the seed calcium concentration. Let me explain a couple things about that. Even though peanuts we typically think are the same size, the seed size varies considerably within the market class that we work with, the runner types. The larger seeded types typically require more calcium than the smaller seeded types, just physically to absorb that much calcium from the soil. Obviously, the smaller seeded types would have an advantage. This graph shows the weight of 100 seeds, which is a proxy for the seed size term that I'm using, and the seed calcium concentration here in parts per million on the y-axis, or the x-axis. So we have Georgia Green, a cultivar that was used for many years, very good seed germination, susceptible to leaf spot. C99R here, larger seeded, obviously, higher weight per 100 seeds. And AP3, another type that was also very successful and very good germination. Compared to DP1 here, small seeded, similar to Georgia Green, but much lower seed calcium concentration. Very unusual to see that in a small seeded cultivar to absorb that level of calcium compared to another small seeded that was absorbing much higher level of calcium. What you see here is, on average, these two genotypes, both about the same seed size, absorb considerably different levels of calcium, much higher in Georgia Green, much lower in DP1. And interestingly, even the larger seeded types, AP3 and C99R, absorb more calcium than DP1, the small seeded type. We also looked at this same set of data for seed calcium content and germination in the lab, which will be the hollow symbols, and emergence in the field, which will be the solid symbols here of each cultivar. And we see that AP3 and Georgia Green, those two cultivars typically have very good seed germination and vigor compared to DP1 and C99R, the yellow and red here, and especially DP1. This cultivar tends to be the worst of the batch of cultivars that we released. And in fact, when we conduct the germination test, they would look acceptable, and that's exactly what happened in the commercial setting. The germination test initially looked good, but when the farmers planted the seed, they instead of having a 70% stand or better, they would have a 50% stand or worse. That's what it looks like here. When we plant the seeds in the field, you can see that the difference between germination and emergence in the field was quite significant here compared to the other cultivars. So we do think that calcium is having an effect, and primarily an effect on not just the germination, but also the seedling vigor. So we follow that up and look at a larger group of genotypes that we grow in our commercial variety test every year, over 50 genotypes here, and found that the calcium concentration among that group of genotypes was highly variable. Looking at, we ran a fixed model and a random model just to see what the broad sense heritability or repeatability would be, and we see that 33%, we have a 33% repeatability or broad sense heritability among this group of genotypes. And just on average, you can see that the late maturing types, these were grouped just based on their ancestry, their pedigree, the types that have this germplasm in their background that have this leaf spot resistance, had lower calcium concentration than the Virginia types, which are very large seeded and typically have lower calcium, and then the normal runners. This was interesting to us because it does point quite squarely at calcium as a potential problem. And a potential cause of the seed germination that we're seeing. So again, just to summarize, what are the causes of this poor seed germination and vigor? Membrane leakage, antioxidant capacity, and seed calcium concentration. And we're looking into this with a graduate student now. We have some F2 and F3 populations in the field. Now we're measuring calcium concentration, we'll measure germination and vigor, and also leaf spot resistance. So our goal, obviously, is to develop leaf spot resistant cultivars that are deployable and don't have this problem. Obviously, as a breeder, we need something to measure that will allow us to do that. Our contributors are graduate students. This group of folks here has done most of the work that you see, and Stephen Thornton is continuing the work. The advisors, Dr. Gallows, Gorbett, and Moody, as well as our technical support staff. Funding from the USDA, AFRI program, and the peanut producers. And I'd be glad to answer any questions that you might have. Yes, sir.
The calcium demand of root hairs and pollen roots and fungal mycelia is often extremely high. Do you have any sense that this calcium might be
So the question, I guess, is do we see increased calcium concentration or decreased calcium concentration in other parts of the plant? I don't know the answer to that. We do know that this work dates back to the 50s when it was first discovered in peanut that calcium was a problem and in seed germination. They conduct experiments where they actually physically isolated the root and the pods from each other in the soil medium, because the pods are borne out on the stems away from the taproot. It's a taprooted crop, and they were able to show with radio-labeled calcium that the root absorption of calcium did not translocate back to the pod unless the pod was in a drier environment and actually transpiring. So the pod absorbs its own calcium as if it were a root.